We're so glad you're here this morning. We're so thankful Cindy's back in the house and we're back online this morning. So welcome to everyone that's on the internet today. We're so glad that you joined us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your presence this morning. Lord, I feel you stirring in our souls today. And we thank you, Lord, that you arise in our lives and you arise in our relationships and you arise, oh God, in our lives and bring forth your order and your blessing and your power and your direction and your guidance and your love, Lord. Just open our hearts and Holy Spirit, teach us in Jesus' name. Amen. How many would agree this morning that relationships are complicated? Amen. Amen, amen. Here is a saying from Eleanor Roosevelt. She said, many people will walk in and out of your life, but only true friends will leave footprints in your heart. So today is week 3 of our current series in relationship status. And relationships are part of what it means to be human. It's not a question of, do you have a relationship or what is your relationship status? We are all in some kind of relationship. Amen? All right. 2 weeks ago, we looked at the status of singleness and whether you're single for a season or you are single for a lifetime. Look at it as a gift from God because that time allows you to serve God, to focus God without a divided heart. It's a special opportunity for the single person to become more like Jesus. Can all you single say amen?
Amen.
Yeah, when we taught that series, that first session, David asked me, he said, are there any singles here? And I began to count up, and I think there were 18 here that morning. And he goes, wow, because he has no idea. He doesn't know our congregation. And so we enjoyed that message. And so last week, we talked about our status changes to being in a relationship. And that would be a relationship like a couple or a dating relationship. And we found out our first love must be God. Amen. That's what the scripture tells us, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And so God is first in our lives. And the scripture offers us a lot of guidance and direction when it comes to just the changes in our relationships. And anyone who has been in relationship, Pastor Leonard and I have been in relationship for many years, and our relationship changes. It changes. If you've been in relationship with any person over a lifetime, you might have had friends in fifth grade, but your relationship now is different. And so we have to recognize when things are changing and don't get nervous about it, but God is in control, right? Let him arise in your situation. So no matter what status you find yourself in, the truth is relationships are not easy. And when someone posts or says that their relationship status is complicated, what they mean is that they may be unsure of where their relationship is or where it's headed, and possibly they're not equally committed in that relationship. Whether you're a couple and you're dating, sometimes you realize the other person is not as committed as you thought they were. And so it's a difficult status to find yourself in, but God gives us ways to handle those complications. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
He doesn't leave us without a remedy because he's the God who created relationships. So after serving in the church for many years and counseling, I've seen so many people go in and out of relationships. As I've watched them over the years, you know, some of them go smooth and steady, and others just seem really bumpy and complicated. And the first thing to understand about relationships is this. We should expect relationships to be complicated. Because everyone makes mistakes. You know, and mistakes can be costly. John Maxwell, in his book, The Winning Attitude, he shares a research study that was done by Stanford Research Institute. And he applied this to business and to church membership. But he said, according to the Stanford Research Institute, the money made in any endeavor is determined only 12.5% by knowledge and 87.5% by your ability to deal with people. This is the statistic that really got me. 68% of customers will quit shopping with you because of an attitude of indifference toward them by an employee. These same principles apply to any church. So having an indifferent attitude can run your customers or your church members away. So we need to learn how to deal with people. God is patient with us. Aren't we glad? Otherwise, no one would be sitting in this auditorium. He would have eliminated all of us by this time. Let's go to 1 Peter 4:7-8. The scripture says, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. And above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. And I like it in the Message version. It says, everything in the world is about to be wrapped up. And when I read that, I thought of the scripture in Revelation that says that the heavens are just going to be rolled up like a scroll. Be gone. So he says, take nothing for granted and stay wide awake in prayer. Most of all, love each other as if your life depended on it. Love makes up for practically anything. So to have strong relationships, especially in the body of Christ within a church, we must deal with our brokenness. And how do you do that? Well, first of all, we need to realize that we're all broken people. We come to God broken. In many of the stores, there are sections that are for, they'll have produce for sale, or products for sale, but it says as is. Have you ever seen those? And what the store is basically saying, these items here are a little damaged. They're not exactly perfect. They're slightly irregular. Do you ever feel like you're slightly irregular? Oh. In other words, it says, you know, you're going to buy this as is. And the store is saying, if you're looking for perfection, you're in the wrong section. If you buy here, you're getting it as it is. And when it comes to the church, you have to come to the as-is section of the universe. Every one of us has a tag that simply says as is when we come to the church and we come into the Lord Jesus Christ. I've always said the river of life is made up of real people who have real problems, who serve a real God, who can solve them. And I appreciated what Gabe said this morning. I'm just going to go ahead and confess. I struggle with joy. You see, we need to provide a safe place where people can actually say, you see, I'm not perfect. I'm struggling today. And I realized this early on when we planted the church downtown. I had a friend that came to church, and she was just loved the River of Life people, because she said she was tired of being in churches that were like plastic. The people were like plastic. They put on this smile, they put on this front, they put on their mask, and every Sunday they came in, and everything was just okay, it was just great, hallelujah, I'm victorious. Well, yeah, we are all of those things, but when we're struggling with something, we need prayer, and we are to confess it, so that someone can pray for us and admit that we're in the middle of a struggle. We're real people. And often we try to hide that. You know, there's fear going into a church. Often people think they have to come to church. When they go to church, they better be perfect. Well, we wouldn't need Jesus if we were perfect. So relationships, because we are fallible people, because we are not perfect, they get really messy. We're all believing for a victorious life. We're all believing that God is going to get us through the trial, the struggle that we're facing. We are believing for God to give us strength to be overcomers. He says we are. And we are. But in the midst of it, sometimes you just got to admit where you're at so you can move on. You know, you can keep pushing it down, denying it, acting like it's not there, and that negative energy keeps rising up on the inside of you, and it comes out of us in very unfavorable ways and actually hurts the people that are around us. So we just got to deal with it. Tell your neighbor you got to deal with it. Colossians 3:13 says, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. It is in these moments that Christ calls for us to forbear one another in love. In the midst of recognizing someone's fault, recognizing what's going on in their life, maybe they've offended you, maybe they've hurt you, but that word forbear literally means to bear up against or hold back. So we hold back our natural reaction to each other's faults. We bear up against our tendencies to seek revenge or vengeance when we're wrong or to respond harshly when we're annoyed. Anybody's ever responded harshly when they're annoyed? You got to hold it back. You forbear with that person. Especially when, you know, when it's a child learning how to do something, you could get really aggravated. But when you respond in that way, it hurts the child. You have to hold it back. Hallelujah. So no matter what type of relationship challenge you may be facing, Scripture can help you handle it. Yes, amen. Aren't we glad for the Bible? Yes. So Paul writes in Corinthians in his letter about learning how to love one another because the early church was struggling with it. And so we should not be surprised that we need to be reminded as well. So let's go to 1 Corinthians, the love chapter. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 3 says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Paul has one major truth he wants his readers to understand. He says, in relationship with one another, we can do all the right things and even look good doing it. But if we don't have love as that driving force, then it's all worthless. There are many complications that can arise from one side of the relationship or from both sides dealing with each other with the absence of love. Relationship is about serving one another, about loving one another. And when there isn't love there, when there isn't a God love there, then there's a presence of friction. Have you ever walked into a room and felt the friction? Or come up to a couple and felt the friction that's going on between them? It can be intense. It's a negative energy that we release. And we might think we're hiding it, but we're not. Emotions are energy in motion. So if it is a good energy, you're going to be releasing something good. If it is a bad one, you're releasing something that is negative, and then nobody wants to be around you. You want to get away from that couple as quick as you can. Is that right? Hallelujah. So last week we talked about agape love. And it's not this sappy, sentimental, emotional love. But agape love is a self-sacrificing and selfless to the core. When this kind of love is present, disruptions in a relationship are navigated with the other person's interest in mind. Without love, there's always friction because each person's looking out for themselves. When you're looking out for only you, you're being selfish. And the scripture says we become clanging cymbals. And there will be absolutely nothing to show for our efforts. So agape love is like the main ingredient for a healthy, life-giving relationship. And when we were looking at ingredients, I thought there's no substitution for love. The Bible's really clear about that. And it just reminded me when I was in the fifth grade, we were in home economics class. Did anybody here take home economics? I hear they don't teach it much anymore, but it is a class that helps you learn how to cook and clean and manage a household and do finances. It is just the basics of living and surviving, and you wonder why in the world did they stop teaching that? It's like the boys had to take home ec. They were required to take home ec in the school I was in, and then the girls were required to take shop. So that was fun. Not something I'd want to do all the time, but you know, you get a little bit of knowledge, you can be dangerous. But it just reminded me, in fifth grade, we had this cooking team. We were on teams, and so we were making these chocolate chip cookies. And, you know, each one of us were assigned our task, and I wasn't paying any attention to who was doing what. Nobody was. We're in the fifth grade, for Pete's sakes. And we're just excited about getting some fresh cookies, right? What else are you thinking about? Well, someone on our team used baking soda instead of baking powder. And so the cookies were like all done, smelled so good, looked absolutely delicious. And when we bit into them, they tasted horrible because it was the wrong ingredient. And so we cannot substitute the love of God in our relationships. We cannot substitute being self-sacrificing and serving one another, because that is how God identifies relationship principles in the scripture. So Paul was making an appeal that whatever relationship that we are in today, that if our relationship status is complicated, then we need to look at these things. Am I approaching it with love? Have I demonstrated selflessness? Do I demand the other person bow to my needs? Am I handling my family member, coworker, spouse, employee, etc., the way Jesus would? And are you thinking about them in that way? Because if you're not thinking about a person with the eyes of God, then you are releasing, once again, negativity and judgment towards that person. And even if it's just a thought in your head, it should not be there. I know I went through several years because I came from a very legalistic church and we judged everything. And it was a training and renewing of my mind to get that judgmental attitude out of my head. It was in my belief system. It was in my thought patterns. And it just doesn't go away overnight. Somebody say amen. These things don't just change overnight. It takes some time. You've got to work at it. Tell someone you got to work at it. We just want God to wave his magic wand over us and for it to happen. Or we want to go to a counselor and for them to wave their magic wand over us for it to happen. Or come up for prayer and we think it's just going to go away. Well, if it does, praise God. But it's been my experience that it takes work and I have to put some effort into it. And when I put effort into it, God meets me right where I'm at. And he does more than I do, but I take that first step towards God, and God moves towards me, and there is transformation that begins to take place. That's how it works. Hallelujah. So let's go on in the scripture, because Paul goes on and says what love looks like. He says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Praise God. So we see Paul in the scripture, he's working from every angle to describe the kind of love that he wants us to have in the church, one for another, that we should have in our personal relationships, if we're a couple dating, or if we are married, or if it's within our home, our family. We should have these manners of love. Amen? Sometimes manners go out the window when it comes to families and close relationships. And we should keep our manners. Somebody say amen. So he lays it out in the simplest way. So he talks about the do's and the don'ts. So if we're willing to implement this counsel that Paul's giving us, then there's a good chance that we won't struggle with clarifying our relationships if it's complicated. We can find out why it's complicated because we are responsible for our own thoughts, our own words, and our own action. And when you move on it, what the other person does and how they handle it is up to them. You cannot control them. Tell somebody, I can't control anybody but me. So just repent of a controlling spirit. Hallelujah. We break its power from our relationships and invite the Holy Spirit to take control. Amen. And so I apologize, that looks a little dark. Oh, I guess you can read it there. So the first do is patience. It suffers long and it's kind. And when you find yourself in a complicated relationship, you have to choose patience in order to discern how to move forward. It's not easy to talk about frustrations and issues with another person. It requires patience because it takes time for hearts to heal and it takes time to build trust. And if you move too quickly and you are not patient or kind or long-suffering, then you can actually make things worse in that relationship. And so, as we grow and mature, we know it takes time. Some people are not ready to hear what you're getting ready to say, and sometimes you're not ready to hear what they need to say. Is that true? And so we have to be patient with one another. Ask God to give you wisdom how to help you do that. He'll give you wisdom to navigate through your relationships. And I remember an old saying that said, things are never as broken as you think, but relationships are never as mended as you think either. And so we proceed forward with the Lord. And then there's envy. Paul puts envy in the don't category. Love is not envious. And oftentimes relationships get complicated because one person or another is envious of the other. And envious of their relationship with someone else, envious of their success, envious of their abilities, envious of their time. Envy is so destructive in our souls. You know you have matured and grown when you can be happy for someone else. That you're not envying them and wanting what they want or what they have. And often we'll see successful people or we'll see a great relationship and we think in our mind, oh, that must have been so easy for them. But no, it wasn't. It takes work. Relationships take work. Hallelujah. The next one he talks about is pride. The scripture said, love does not parade itself and is not puffed up. Pride is when you lift yourself up by pushing someone else down. You often hear it in people's conversations because they think they are better than someone else. And so or they feel threatened by someone else, so right away they have to put them down so they feel bigger. Someone who is prideful in a relationship thinks so much about themselves that they have very little time to think about anyone else. And being in a relationship with someone who's prideful is exhausting because you always have to compete for attention against that person's favorite thing, which is themselves. It's that old, my mom used to say, oh, I love me, who do you love? When someone would be so prideful. And you can see it, as you grow and mature, you notice it in body language and how someone comes up to talk to you and they're puffed up, I say, like a peacock. Just strutting their stuff. And you know what? God is not impressed with that. He's not impressed at all with that. Let's go on. I can get myself in trouble here. Selfishness. Love does not seek its own. So selfishness is in the don't category. Because being selfish is the exact opposite of the nature of God. The love of God is always looking to give itself away, while the selfish nature is always looking how they can keep things for themselves. Maybe you feel like you give way more than you receive. And in a relationship, this can really complicate things. Paul says, do not be selfish. And so once again, it takes the leading of God and the preparation of hearts to be able to address someone's selfishness. We taught the 2 and 3 year olds. That was our first group that we pastored. And their favorite word was, it's mine. It didn't matter. They would try to take it away from each other. There was tug of wars. I mean, they got just... they'd get to fighting if you didn't intervene because it's mine. And that's our human nature. We have to recognize we are naturally selfish. And we want to make sure that we have enough for us. It's like during COVID when people would go out and buy all the toilet paper. So when the next person goes in, there's not even one package. Because people are selfish. They don't think about the other person. And so God wants us to think about the other person. What are they going through? What is the struggle they're having? All right, let's go on. Anger. Scripture says love is not provoked. And so anger goes in the don't section. And it's incredibly difficult to get clarity in a relationship when you find yourself angry. Anger can make us irrational. Anger can cause us to say and do things that we regret. It's not that we should never get angry, because the scripture says, be angry and sin not. But it's all about how you handle the anger. And when we give our anger to God, then we keep anger from controlling us. You know, you got to talk to God about these things. He gave us these warning lights, like on the dashboard. And when you're in a family relationship, you know when that anger is like heating up. And the kids run to their room. I'm just saying, it's the truth. Well, we'll talk about marriage next week. But anger can lead to very dysfunctional behavior. And actually, people will use their anger to control you. They will use their anger to put you back in the corner and to shut you down so that you're walking around in this relationship on eggshells. This is not God's way. We should not be fearful in our relationships. And if we are, then we need to get some help. And there are times you even need to get out of that relationship because the person is toxic. It's a dysfunctional, toxic relationship. And they'll say, I'm sorry, I won't abuse you again. But they're right back at it. You know they're lying. But there's something in our heart that we just want to believe them because we're hoping. But there's a time that relationship needs to end. Not every relationship is going to make it, and that's okay. You are not a failure if a relationship doesn't make it. Hallelujah. Truth. Love doesn't rejoice in iniquity, but loves truth. And so truth is in the do category. We need some positive things, right? Any relationship will only thrive when there's truth between the people involved. And this means being vulnerable and truthful about how you feel and how you view a situation. This means being vulnerable and truthful about expectations. It's interesting how couples who are dating or who are engaged, many times they don't voice their expectations. They just have this chemical hormonal reaction going on in their brain that has them convinced that everything's just going to work out and be okay. Talk to a few married people. They'll give you some good counsel on that. These situations just don't work out. The expectations. So we have to be truthful. And truth will be the attitude that either clarifies the relationship or perhaps ends the relationship. And you have to be okay with that. Because remember, the scripture says the truth sets you free. So maybe you needed to be free from that relationship. Hallelujah. Or the other person needed to be free from you. Hallelujah. It always works both ways. Somebody say amen. The next one's protection. Protection goes in the do category. Love protects and makes sure to be sensitive to a person's fears, hurts, considering what their hopes and dreams are. You know, it crushes people. When we choose to protect the other person, that means that we're cautious about what they take from that other person in the relationship. They are aware of what is appropriate to do and not do at any stage of the relationship. Let's go on. Perseverance. Believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. And so Paul puts the perseverance in the do section. When love commits to someone, it lasts for the long run. The love knows there will be challenges along the way, and it meets them with confidence and dedication to the other person. And this love is modeled for us by the love of Jesus Christ. He was willing to go all the way because God so loved the world that he gave Jesus Christ. Love never fails, and it is steadfast. And so point number three, healthy relationships come with a cost. Whoever is willing to follow this counsel from Paul is willing to say, I'll take on the nature of Jesus Christ. Because he was willing to sacrifice his desires and to give his life in order for us to experience life. John 13:34-35 says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. And Francis Schaeffer said this, our relationship with each other is the criterion the world uses to judge whether our message is truthful. Christian community is the final apologetic. So if you want to develop and sustain the kind of relationships that God wants you to have, then it will take sacrifice of some kind on your part. And they don't just happen. We have to work at them, mature and grow, learn how to relate to people who think differently than we do. How many of you have ever met a few people that think differently than you do? Hallelujah. You got to learn how to maneuver through that with the love of God. And so here are some suggestions that will help guide a relationship status from time to time. The six most important words are, I admit I made a mistake. The five most important words, you did a good job. Complimenting someone. It may not be exactly like you would have done it, but they did a good job. Four most important words, what do you think? It's not just all about what you're thinking and promoting your ideas, but when you're in a relationship, especially a married relationship, dating relationship, what do you think? What would you like to do? And often that happens a lot when you're dating, and then it switches when you get married. Jesus help us. That's next week. Three most important words, after you please. Honoring the other person. You don't have to shove your way through the door or wait for them to open the door for you. The two most important words, thank you. The one most important word, we. Because we're in a relationship together. And the least most important word is I. Have you ever talked to someone for a period of time and it's I? I did this and I did that. And I think this and I should be and I. It's like, Jesus, help us. Romans 12:9. Love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Run for dear life from evil and hold on for dear life to good. So let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this relationship teaching. We thank you, Lord, that love should be at the center, your love, of all that we do. God, I pray that you help us, Lord, to keep you first in our lives, Lord, to keep you at the center of our lives, Lord, that every decision we make, every relationship we have will flow from the love of God, will flow from your very presence, Lord. I thank you, Lord, you're speaking to people right now about relationships that they have. And Lord, I thank you that you help us, Lord, to draw closer to you and closer to one another. Because the world is watching us. They're watching how our families treat one another. They're watching how churches interact with one another. And Lord, we just pray that for each one of us, Lord, that we choose the path of love. Because in all that we do, Lord, we want it to count. And we know if we have not love, then it is nothing. Then the works that we do are nothing. In your sight. It doesn't matter, Lord. I know your word says it doesn't matter how well you prophesy or how well you operate in the gifts or how well you teach or preach if love is not at the center of all that we do. So God, I pray that whatever needs to be adjusted in our hearts, Lord, you adjust us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Can you give the Lord a shout of praise? And I can sincerely say I love you, and I love the church. I love our River of Life family and everyone that's connected with us, with the love of God. I want the best for you. I want God's best for you. And so I pray for you. Leonard and I pray for you. Until Jesus Christ is formed in you, the scripture says. That's what we do as pastors. We pray for our sheep. And we thank God for bringing you this morning to hear this message. So make sure you love someone well this week.